that sometimes we don't think about but don't know. They just see this nice guy up here. What a nice guy you are. But he's more than a nice guy. We were talking about obedience this morning. Eli and Rico, are they here? In the back there, and Eli, wherever he's at running around here, he's probably cooking again. So all a guy does is cook, but we love that. But they mentioned the fact that we don't think of sometimes, and I forget too, that Pastor John is a man of obedience, that they thought he might have retired from the fire department, knowing he was a fireman, and then become a pastor. But here's a man that had 9 years in, could have got a pension in 1 year, but God called him to lay that down and come here. And he did that. That is not an easy thing if we think for any of us would have done it. Would we have done it? I don't know. I cannot say. It takes a real heart of obedience, and we have a man here that has that heart, that he knew that this is where God wanted him, right? This is a special gift that God gave us. Amen? So let's pray for him. Thank you, Lord. Father God, we thank you for this gift you give us, Father God. And Father God, we thank you for the gift that you're going to give through him, Father God, of your word this morning, Father God. We know that you have something special for in store for us, as you always do. So anoint this word and anoint ourselves, Father God, that we're able to hear this word and walk it out. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Well, if you were here last week, or even the last few weeks, you remember I've been talking about a renewed mind. And last week in particular, I talked about how a renewed mind helps us to understand the times that we live in. And if you remember, we were also talking about the men of Issachar. They were the tribe that was committed to David when Saul died, and people didn't know who was going to be king, but the men of Issachar understood what God was doing, understood God's plans, they understood the times, and they backed him. And we as Christians need to be able to understand what's happening around us and the times that we live in and the times in our life and in our world. And when we're talking about understanding the times, a big part of that is to be able to discern the truth. What is God's truth in any given situation? What is the truth that God is trying to lead us into? What is the right way, God's way, to live at any given time? And, you know, we want to build our lives according to that truth, the truth of God, on his kingdom. And that's the foundation that we need if we want our house, our life, to not be destroyed by the winds and the rains and all the troubles and the things that come at us in our life. So we also need to see that there's a whole other world out there that's built on a different foundation. And that's built on a foundation of lies and deception, and that's the kingdom of darkness. And in the kingdom of darkness, the devil, who is, we should know, is the father of lies, he has been deceiving people since the beginning of time. It started right out with Adam and Eve when he deceived them into basically saying, I will be God instead of God. I will decide what is right and what is wrong for me. So he tricked them, he deceived them into thinking that they could have their own truth instead of following God's truth. And the whole world has been, since then, heavily influenced by those lies and those deceptions and those manipulations of the devil. And so we should be able to see then, just by knowing that, how important it is for us to understand the truth. Thankfully, God has not left us in the dark. He set in place a perfect plan, a plan to set us free from all those lies, all that the bondage to sin and deception. And he told his disciples in John 14:16, and we know the word spoke not only to them, but it's even speaking to us still today. And he says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and he will be in you. John 16, 13 says, when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. The Holy Spirit is always looking to bring us closer to God, to reveal God, to reveal God's ways, God's principles, God's word, and God's truth. In John 14, 26, it says, the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things, and he will remind you of everything I have said to you. If it wasn't for the Holy Spirit, you know that we wouldn't even be able to believe in God? It was the Holy Spirit that called us, that touched our hearts, and made our heart pliable, made it sort of like tilled the soil there in our heart so that the Word of God could come in and we could recognize who God is and ask him into our life. We wouldn't be able to see, understand or discern without the Holy Spirit what the truth is. We wouldn't know the truth from the lie without the Holy Spirit's guidance. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. Now that would be terrible if we stopped right there. No mind, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared. What if we didn't know? What if we didn't know? What if we had no idea what salvation was? What if we had no idea that God loves us, that God could forgive us, that Jesus died for our sins? What if we had no idea that we could belong to Christ and know that we could have a place reserved in heaven for us? Imagine if we were in that position where we didn't know. I'm so thankful that we do know. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed it to us. How? By his Spirit. It was the Holy Spirit who guided us, guided the writers of the Word. They wrote the Word as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit, it tells us in Scripture. See, this was God's... Remember, the Word of God is the mind of God put down on paper. That's all it is. It's God's thoughts. It's God's mind. It's who God is put down on paper. Jesus Christ was the Word alive. The Bible is the Word on paper, in a book, so we can carry it with us wherever we go. We can read it. We can learn it. We can love it. We can understand it. And so we can live it. And it's the Holy Spirit, again, God, who caused those writers to write down that word without error, in truth, because it was God who did it through the Holy Spirit, through the people that he chose. 1 Corinthians 2:12 says, we have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God. Why? Why is that? Why did we receive the Spirit who is from God? And it says right here, that we may understand what God has freely given us. See, God wants us to know what's in the contract. Bob used to work for a union. And I know for a fact you were also a union steward, right? And you used to look into that contract and study that contract so you could see the benefits that were available to the guys you represented. Isn't that true? Isn't that something? Did you hear that? They used to call it their Bible. But the better you understood that contract, the more benefit you could get from it, right? If you had no idea what's in your work contract or in your like a union or weather or whatever, just the policies of your work, you don't know what you have coming to you. You know, isn't that something, you know, when people go get a job, one of the first thing they say is, what's the benefits? Oh, I want a job with benefits. I want, you know, I want a vacation time. I want, hopefully, I'd like to get health insurance. I'd like to get, you know, maybe some paid days off. Maybe what kind of pay do I get? You know, what hours do I have to work? We want to know, don't we? Well, God is laying out the contract for us in His Word. That's our contract. It's called a covenant, the new covenant that He's given to us. And we have this covenant now, this contract, that we can look at and find out what the benefits are. And also, what the responsibilities are. It's always a two-way street. We do this. You don't get paid if you don't go into work, right? So you have to. We have to do our part. And then we get the benefits. It's the same thing in Christianity. The same thing. So God wants us to understand all that He's done for us. And believe me, in this contract, we got the best deal in town. There's no way anybody could ever top this contract. Because we have all these benefits, but the main one we got is eternal life. What company offers you eternal life? Who could ever offer that except God Himself? What a benefit. So God gave us His Spirit so that we may understand what He has freely given us. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, the person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, and he considers them foolishness. A lot of people in this world think there is no afterlife. To them, it might be foolishness that we can go to heaven, or that we can be forgiven for our sins, or that we can pray to somebody and actually get answers. They mock us. Because to them, it says, the person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness. And they cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. See, they don't have the Holy Spirit. To them, everything that we try to tell them is foolishness. Until the Holy Spirit begins to work in them. And see, at the same time then, the Holy Spirit will speak to us and bring us to them. And all of a sudden, there's a connection. That's why it's so important to be led by the Spirit. Otherwise, we're wasting our breath. So we can only understand God's truth through spiritual discernment. We have to have our spiritual eyes and ears open to be able to hear and understand what the Holy Spirit is speaking to us about God's truth. And He shares that wisdom with us all the time. It's not just when we're reading the Word. The Holy Spirit will prompt us and speak that wisdom to us in our mind and in our heart, right in the middle of whatever situation we're in, if our ears and our mind and our heart is open. We have to sometimes stop and think. Just the other day, my transmission broke down on my car, and I was sort of like at a loss in what to do. I had all these options, a used one off the shelf, a rebuild. The guy offered me a particular a remanufactured one with a one-year warranty for $3,700. It was expensive. And I didn't know what to do. I started thinking, wow, do I really need this big of a car? I mean, should I just get the one there and take a chance that's coming off the shelf and save $2,000? And I started praying. I actually stopped. I just said, you know, I don't know what to do. The options were too many, and I could see good points in every one of them. So I started praying, and I ended up calling my son-in-law's dad, and he's a mechanic. And I just said, you know what, Kirk, I just want to ask your opinion about something. I need an unbiased opinion because I'm right in the middle of this thing. And so I gave him all my options, and he said, well, you know, and he said everything that I already knew. You know, well, the one off the shelf that's used, you just don't know. Yeah, I know, you don't know what's going to happen. The rebuild, he only rebuilds the part that's broke, and you're paying almost as much for a remanufactured. Remanufactured, yeah, that's probably the way to go. He said, I'll tell you what, let me make a couple calls. There's another company I know that makes remanufactured trans. He calls me up, and the one I was going to have to pay $3,700 for, he gets a better one and gets it to me with a two-year longer warranty for $2,400. And as soon as he said that, honest to God, I just felt like this weight just went right off me, and I said, Kirk, you don't know how much you just took this burden off me. I feel completely at peace now in what to do. And I knew it was God right away, that he gave me my answer through this man. And I didn't have to worry about it anymore, and I already got my car back, and, you know, it costs a lot of money still, you know, to do that. But at least now I know I got a three-year warranty, or a 100,000-mile warranty, or 3 years, yeah. And they pick it up and repair it wherever I am in the country. And they give you 1-800 number. Pretty good. So if you ever need that, let me know. I'll give you the details. I don't think you can get... Oh, he gave it to me not only... He gave it to me at his cost. And then he, not only that, he had it shipped to his shop, and he drove it over to the transmission shop for me. I says, man, thank you so much for doing that, you know. He's an honest mechanic, Joe and Kirk's auto shop, in case you want an honest mechanic, over on 12th and Wyandotte. And I was so thankful to God, because Carol was trying to talk to me. I can't talk right now. I'm too confused. I got to think through this thing. I couldn't even make another decision. I was so, like, dumbstruck, like, oh, my gosh, what am I going to do? And I had to call him back, like, real soon, you know? So anyway, that's why Revelations 3:6 tells us, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So we have to have our ears open, our spiritual ears and eyes open in whatever situation, always allowing God to speak there for us, to help us make decisions, to help us wander through the maze of this life that we live. Because it's confusing sometimes, isn't it, to know what to do? It really is. Sometimes it's really confusing, and you want to do the right thing. You want to be, you know, right by God. You want to be a blessing to others. You want the best for yourself. I didn't want to pay any more than I had to. And so, you know, we ask God, and God comes through. So we have our eyes and ears open, and we go after, you know, God's wisdom, and we learn about that. But you know what? That's not even enough still. It's wonderful that we hear and we understand and we believe the truth of God, but now there's that next step. We have to take it to the next level. We hear it. We understand it. We believe it. What's the next step? Anybody know? Now we have to begin to walk it out. We have to begin to walk it. We have to do it. We have to do it. We have to become a doer of the word. We need to be faithful to the truth. Matthew 7:21 says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who's in heaven. So reading this scripture makes it pretty obvious that there are plenty of people who may know the Lord and they may know all about the word, but they just didn't follow it. Number one would be the Pharisees. A little further down in the next verse 26, it says, everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like the foolish man who built his house on sand. And the rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. Jesus is trying to warn us because he doesn't want to see our lives coming down with a great crash. He's for us. He's for us. He doesn't want us to fall apart. He doesn't want our lives to fall apart. James puts it about as plain as it can be. James 1:22, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves, but do. Do what it says. So how can we listen to the word and deceive ourselves? Well, I'll tell you exactly how that can happen. I'll paint a scenario for you. We come to church, we listen to the message, and this could happen in many different ways. This is one way. We listen to the message and we hear the truth and we see the, you know, the scriptures laid out. We hear precept upon precept and, you know, and we find ourselves agreeing wholeheartedly. Amen, amen, that's right, brother, that's it. That's it, that's the word of God. We all get filled up and we say, yeah, this is good stuff. I'm really hearing God's word, the Holy Spirit. I feel even he really, you know, convicted me and really wants me to, you know, to go after that. And we get all pumped and go out feeling all inspired and all happy and maybe even a little bit holier because we just got done listening to God's word. And that's good. That's really good. It really is. We can't do it if we don't hear it, if we don't know it. So then we sort of feel like we did our part. But how often do we convert that very thing, that message from general knowledge to personal conviction? There's a difference between belief and conviction. The devil believes the Word of God. He sees it. He reads it. I mean, it's a real thing. It's printed out on paper. There it is. There's the Word of God. I believe it's there. But it's not his. He doesn't take it into him. It doesn't convict him. It's not his conviction to the point where I must do it. I must do it. How often do we consider that God's word is calling me, us, me, to make specific changes in my life? When was the last time you heard the word of God and you took a stance and you took specific action in your life to change something? That should be happening on a regular basis. This is called growth. Changing from glory to glory, becoming more and more like Christ. If we don't take action on what we hear, what we know, we're not growing. We're not changing. We're just deceiving ourselves. Because we say, oh, it's good. It's good. That'd be like having a plate and food in front of you and looking at it and saying, yeah, that looks really good. That looks really good. And just looking at it all day long and saying, man, that looks good. Smells good. I bet it would taste good. I bet that would really nourish me. Looks good. You did a great job preparing that, hon. Does look good. I got to go now, though. Now, who would do that? Not me. I'm going to eat that food. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants to taste and see that the Lord is good. Right? Romans 2:13, for it is not those who hear the law who are righteous in God's sight, but it's those who obey the law who will be declared righteous. There it is. We don't get points for going to the most meetings. You don't get to scratch off your card, get an extra point. We don't bless God and build his kingdom just by listening and reading and studying or even praying. I mean, those are all wonderful things, and if they are fulfilled by the doing, then we do bless God. But if we only do those things and then stop, what good were they? What good is it to read the Word of God if we don't do it? What good is it to have a prophetic word spoken over us or God speaking to us inside and just telling us we need to do it? God really spoke to me last night. I need to start doing this. 6 months later, somebody says, did you start doing that? Well, not yet. I think every one of us have been guilty of that, haven't we? I know I have. I'm not saying this like I'm holier than you, that I've never messed up, because I do. And if you're truthful, if you're honest with yourself, you know you mess up too. But we don't have to stay messed up all the time. And we're not going to get it perfect. We're not going to get it 100% every single time. But we start taking corrective action, remedial action. You know, we start changing and growing. So that's how we deceive ourselves. Because we just think because we heard it and we'd agreed, we're good. But here's what James says in 1:23. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in the mirror, and after looking at himself, he goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. You see it? It's like, why use a mirror if we forget what we look like? Imagine what it would be like to live in a world without mirrors. No way to fix hair. No way to put on makeup. You ever see little kids when they put on lipstick and they don't have a mirror? Ladies, how'd you like to walk around like that? I think sometimes that's how God looks at us. Just like we see those little kids and they got piles of makeup on and lipstick all over the place and we laugh at them. God probably almost laughs at us sometimes. I hope it's more laughs than cries. We're still his children. We're his. We're his children. And he knows we blow it. But he's a loving father. He's a good, good father. And he'll help us to get it right. He'll keep pointing it out and he'll send things our way. Sometimes he has to discipline us because a father disciplines those he loves. But if we just obey, don't you tell your kids, just obey me. And you won't have to get this punishment. Just do what I tell you. I told you, go clean up that mess. Go to your room. Go do this. And they do it. And they're blessed. And then we're happy. And if they refuse and they just keep fighting and rebelling, then we have to deal with it. And who wants to do that? Who wants to have to, you know, punish their child? Nobody does. At least I sure don't. But I did. I had to. Sometimes with tears. And always with love. And that's how God is. That's how God is. Thankfully, that's how God is. Even when he disciplines us, it's in love. It's because he loves us that he disciplines us. We'd be a pretty ragged bunch of people, wouldn't we, if we, you know, had no mirrors in the world? So God's word is just like a mirror. And if we look into his word and we allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us, just like the mirror would speak to us, then he'll show us all kinds of things about ourselves. He'll give us real direction and maybe even some grooming tips. Who knows? The more we act on the things that God reveals to us, the more he'll give us. He who is faithful in little will be given much. So he'll begin to show us things. Things for our good, things for the good of those around us, the good of the body, the good of the world. God's looking for people who are faithful to the truth, doers of the word. His kingdom is built by doers, not by people who are just hearers. The kingdom is built by doers, and he's called us to be kingdom builders. That's what he wants us to be. And we are to be his hands and his feet and his voice here on this earth. We are the body of Christ. John 14:12, I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. What was Jesus doing? He was walking out the truth. He was the Word in flesh. Remember? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word became flesh. So that very Word that we're supposed to learn how to obey is what Jesus was. He walked it out perfectly. He was a wonderful example for us. And now he says, I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He tells us in John 14:15, if you love me, you will obey what I command. How are we supposed to do this? It's too hard. I can't follow the word exactly. It's too hard. The same way Jesus did. God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and power. Acts 10:38. Acts 1:8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Acts 38 and verse 38 and 39, you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, all those all the way down to 2018 at Downriver Christian Community Church on Sunday morning, June 24th, 2018. The Holy Spirit is for us. And he not only leads us into all truth, he teaches us what we need to know, but he empowers us then to be able to be a doer of God's word. The Holy Spirit empowers us. We have to be careful we don't sell God short. And sometimes we do. Sometimes we sell God short. We may not believe that we have this ability, this power in us, this opportunity, this ability, however you want to look at it, to do great things for God. And so we think, like, I can't do that. But do we have enough faith in God? See, our faith is not in ourselves. Our faith has to be in God in us. So the question is do we believe that God, who is all-powerful and he is living in us, can take something weak, like me, and use it for his glory? Bob was talking about me quitting that job. You think that was easy? That was the scariest day of my life, leaving that job. You think I wanted to do it? No, I didn't. I was scared not to. I knew God had told me to do it. I knew he'd take care of me, but I still didn't want to leave. It was a great job with great benefits. I'd have a couple thousand a month coming in now that I don't have. All health insurance paid for my whole life, all those kind of things. And when it came time to walk away from it, I knew it was God. I absolutely knew it was God. I'd already had visions about it and words about it, all kinds of stuff. It was just a matter of when. And when it was time, it was like, I was like Jesus in the garden, sweating blood. When I went in and told my chief I'm leaving, it was awful. I was nervous as anything that day. But after I went in there and I did it, you know, I walked out of there and I felt like, just like I was telling you how I felt when that guy told me about the transmission. It was like all this weight came off of me and I knew I passed a test. Now, that hasn't been rough sometime since then, but I still know I did the right thing. And I always can go back to that. I can go back to all kinds of different days in my life where I know I did the right thing. And where I know who I am, and why I'm here. When something doesn't seem, I say, God, I know you put me here. Sometimes I have to kick myself in the rear and remind myself of that. But see, those times, there's no obedience, there's no sacrifice. How do we learn obedience unless we do something we don't want to do? You know, it says that Jesus had to learn obedience. He learned it through suffering. When he went to that garden and he prayed and he was sweating and he said he was like suffering as though unto death. He was dying, man, right there in the garden. I don't want to do this, Father. Is there any other way? His father told him, nope, I'm sorry, son. This is the way. And so he learned obedience that day. He couldn't have learned it if he didn't have to do something that he didn't want to do. And that was not an easy thing. Taking on all that sin of all the world. Being cut off from the Father. From the one he loved. So we think, I can't do that, I'm too weak. But then we read the Bible and there's stories in there, one after another, of weak people that God used to do mighty deeds. I love the story of Gideon. I've talked about it many times, and I'll talk about it many more times. Lord, I'm the smallest one. I'm in the weakest clan. I can't do that. What do you mean, mighty warrior? I'm no mighty warrior. I'm a shrimp. I'm a pipsqueak. I'm hiding out here. I can't do that. And this angel comes up, mighty warrior, I need you. And so he went and did it, and he became a mighty warrior. Was that his power? No. It was God in him. 1 Corinthians 9:8, and God is able to make all grace abound to you so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Maybe we can't trust ourselves, but we got to learn to trust God in us. That was one of the questions I asked a friend of mine when I was first told I was going to become a pastor, you know, a couple of years before I even did. I thought, man, I don't know if I can do this. And the guy looked at me and he says, do you trust God? And I said, of course I trust God. He says, well, then can't you trust God in you? Yeah, I guess I can. You know, it wasn't easy, but then I had to start doing that. Philippians 4:13, I can do everything who gives me strength. Ephesians 3:20, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine according to his power that is at work within me. Zechariah 46, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty. So we've been drafted into God's army, and he wants to use us to build his kingdom. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance. He created us. He made us. He crafted us. He molded us so we could be vessels of honor. He made us the way he wanted us to be. And he created us to be doers. We got to remember that Jesus has already won the victory. He's already won the victory. We have to learn to walk it out now. We have to walk it out. If every Christian knew these things and acted on them, the world that we live in would be totally different. It'd be like heaven on earth. Because the power of God would be so strong, the works of the devil would be defeated at every turn, and this world would be a totally different place. It's as bad as it is right now because too many of us, and I say myself included, too many of us have not stepped up to the plate when we should have. That's why the world's as bad as it is. And the only solution is for us to get up and do what we got to do. Not just us, but Christians all over the place. The kingdom of heaven is forcefully advancing, and forceful men and women will lay hold of it. God's word is truth. It's true, and it brings freedom. It works. It's wisdom. It works. Why should we ever be ashamed of something like that? We live in a very uncertain world. Some things that seem solid up until just even a few years ago seem to be crumbling sometimes. Sometimes people get scared. They get nervous. They wonder, how's it going to be for my kids or my grandkids? So we have to be the ones who understand the times and then see the truth in that situation, so that we can then speak out that truth to those who need to hear it, so that we can bring peace to them, so that we can bring comfort to those who are mourning and struggling, so that we can bring joy to those who are sorrowful. We can help rescue others by bringing the Word of God to them. The most wonderful thing that we have that is the Word of God, that we can share, that we can bring to somebody. We of all people should be doers of the word more than anyone else. James 1:25 says, "The man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues doing this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, will be blessed in what he does." Do you want to be blessed? I do. I want every single blessing I can get. I want everything that God's got for me. And he's got this storehouse full of treasures. And I haven't even begun to tap into it yet. I want it. I want it for me. I want it for you. I want it for this church. I want this church to be blessed beyond measure. I want Eddie back there to be blessed beyond what he could ever bear. And Ricardo, and Ray, and all you guys, every one of you sitting here, even our visitors today from New Jersey, I want you to be blessed. I want your little boy to be blessed, to grow up knowing the love and the power of God. Something that this world has rejected and mocks every single day. Who will speak the truth to them? Who will share the truth of God to those people who don't know? Who can do it? Who can do it? Can you give me an answer? Who? I, Lord. I, send me, Lord. Send me. Send me to speak life into somebody's life. Send me to give hope to somebody who's ready to die, ready to commit suicide. Send me to give joy to that person that's broken because someone close to them is lost or dead. Or, you know, somebody's parent just died or whatever it might be. Send me. Wherever we are, God, use me in this situation. That's the kind of attitude that God wants us to have. Galatians 6:9, last scripture. If I could have the prayer team come forward. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Actually, I even got another one. I'll read one more. Philippians 4:9. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. The Bible is a book for doers, not just hearers. It's a book for doers. And we need to know what to do. We need to be able to get that truth and get it into us and walk it out. Walk in the truth every single day. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, so much. We thank you for this word of truth that you have given us. Thank you, Lord, that you have given us eyes to see and ears to hear and a heart to believe. That you've given us your Holy Spirit to show us, to empower us, to convict us, to help us, Lord God. Thank you, Lord, for this book of truth that you've given us. This book that is really your mind, your life, your desires, your principles, written out for us to read and learn and study and love and act on. Lord, use us for your glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen, Father. Amen. Amen. We do have coffee and donuts upstairs. Stick around. Thanks for coming out today. God bless you.